Chapter 3. Amy. Well, apparently I was still capable of feeling something. I was numb to the bone, but obviously it didn't go so deep I couldn't notice a man who was physically attractive. And Dustin King? Oh, yes. Physically attractive wasn't even the half of it. When I first laid eyes on him, that custom-shaped, well-worn black cowboy hat had tilted just so, the brim masking his face as he stood next to the trailer, stroking Blue's neck and speaking quietly to the agitated gelding. A man who was good with animals was sexy in his own right, and that black cowboy hat was the icing on the cake. Then he had turned around and faced us, and I pulled in a lungful of arid summer air. He was scruffy and looked exhausted, but even his unshaven jaw and the circles under his eyes couldn't undermine his leg-liquefying features. Just his blue eyes were enough to bring a few long-dead nerve endings tingling back to life. And now? Now I was following him around the property, and thank God John had already shown me the place because I only caught about half of what Dustin said as we walked. If there was one thing I hadn't counted on when I came here, it was trying to work for someone who made me trip over my words and my feet. Oblivious to my distraction, Dustin went over some instructions as we walked through the corridors between pastures.
Any mare with a foal at her side goes in this pasture.
He gestured at the one on the left.
Or at the one at the bottom of the hill. We've made sure everything in there is extra safe for the babies, so I don't like them in any other pasture until they're at least a year or two.
Good to know, I said.
And foals who are being weaned don't turn out at the same time as their dams,
he said.
Mares in the morning, foals in the afternoon. They don't like it, but...
But then they don't see Mom and try to crash through the fence to join her. I know. He glanced at me, either annoyed I had cut him off or surprised I knew what he was talking about.
All right, then let's...
A squeal stopped him, and we looked to see two of the weanlings galloping toward us. Their mothers looked up. One went back to grazing while the other strolled after the babies.
Hey, guys!
Dustin squatted by the fence and reached between the boards as the pair of foals skidded to clumsy halts in front of him. He scratched their fluffy necks, and one nuzzled his face with its long whiskered nose while the other nibbled on the brim of his black hat.
None of that,
he said, nudging the mouth away from his hat.
Be nice, you little brat.
The mare, a gentle-eyed bay with a wide blaze, put her head over the fence beside me, so I absently petted her as I watched Dustin playing with the youngsters. There was a time in my life when a pair of foals that age would have had me swooning and cooing. Now I was keenly aware of the lack of that response, of the empty place in my chest where a swell of aw, babies should have been. That the only warmth I felt at all besides the sun on my back was the mare's body heat as I half-heartedly stroked her mostly white face. I glanced at Dustin, and even as he petted and scratched the babies, he was looking at me, and something in his eyes was different. His expression had hardened. Even as he turned back toward the foals and laughed at one trying to chew on his sleeve, there was less feeling behind it. His eyes darted toward me, and the laughter faded away almost entirely. Something else caught the attention of the foals, and they took off trotting. The mare jogged after them, nickering softly as they bucked and played. Dustin rose, throwing me an odd look. Then he adjusted his hat and we kept walking between the pastures.
Watch some of the horses when you're leading them out here.
Like his expression, his tone had changed, cooled in favor of something I couldn't quite put my finger on, and it stayed that way as he continued.
Some of them will try to take advantage if you're not paying attention. Don't let them walk all over you and make sure
I'm well aware of how they should behave while they're being led, I said with perhaps more irritation than an employee should present to her employer. Dustin's lip twisted, and I couldn't decide if he was amused, annoyed, or both.
All right. Well, I guess I don't have to go over that then.
Go ahead. I dare you. And I swear to God, Dustin, if you tell me not to walk them through a field full of prairie dog holes or something, you're going to be pulling that hat out of your ass. Fortunately for both of us, he just gestured toward the barn.
Let's head back down then, and I'll show you where all the show gear is. All of that needs to be cleaned before the next competition.
He glanced at me.
You know how to clean tack?
I didn't want to dignify that with a response, but to be fair, I had given him no reason to assume I knew a cinch from a stirrup, so I calmly said, Yes, I do. The more we walked and talked, the more I regretted my decision to come here. He'd been friendly and pleasant at first, and then abruptly shifted to cold and terse for no reason I could discern. Nice one minute, then playful with the babies, and then, out of nowhere, there was an icy wall between us. I didn't need that. I'd had my fill and then some of volatile Jekyll and Hyde types. There was no way I could work for one. So as we walked, I put a few extra inches of distance between us. Overreacting, maybe, but it just seemed safer that way. Especially as he showed me through the barn, and I swore to God Dustin got colder every time he introduced me to another horse. Like I needed that on top of reminder after reminder that I had become so disconnected from the animals that had been, as long as I could remember, my passion. He sharply warned me away from Chip, one of the abuse cases that had apparently lived here a while. That conversation in itself was weird. Dustin started out with, You'll want to be careful around this one. And by the end of the short discussion, he switched to, Stay away from this one. Probably just as well. If it was possible for numbness to hurt, and on some level I think it did, it was worse when we stood in front of Chip's stall. That horse had been through hell. Another mistreated Tennessee Walker from the same farm that had left Blue a terrified mess. Good Lord, if there was anything I could relate to anymore, it was the feeling of being scared and powerless and always on edge, waiting for a sword of Damocles to fall, just like a skittish horse, just like Blue, just like Chip. And yet, looking across the stall door at the bright red chestnut as he pinned his ears and tried to look menacing even as his knees shook, I felt nothing. Sympathy, yes, but beyond that, just deep, resonating numbness that made me wonder if I'd ever connect to anything again, human or animal. It was an unsettling feeling. A feeling of unfeeling, I supposed. So weird and so disturbing because that was not me. Never had been. And I was more than a little glad when Dustin decided it was time to move on to somewhere other than beside Chip's stall. We had just stepped out of the barn when a woman who I assumed to be John's wife stopped us.
You must be the new hire, she said, her Texas accent softer than her husband's.
Yeah, I extended my hand.
Amy. Amy, I'm Gretchen.
She shook my hand and her eyes twinkled as she added,
I'm this difficult one's mother.
I glanced at Dustin. He chuckled and rolled his eyes, and that black cowboy hat didn't hide the color blooming in his cheeks.
And how are you settling in, Amy?
Gretchen asked. So far, so good, I said. When your son isn't going from pleasant to irritable for no apparent reason.
Good, good.
She gestured at the duplex.
By the way, the door's locked behind you, so make sure you got your key with you whenever you leave. If you forget it,
she pointed at the other house.
I've got a spare.
Good to know, I said. Thanks.
Hey, Dustin,
John called from inside the barn. Need to borrow you for a minute.
God, what now?
Dustin grumbled. Then he turned to me.
Would you excuse me? I'll be right back.
Sure. As he walked away, I couldn't help relaxing a bit, like I didn't have to be on guard anymore.
Gretchen smiled after him.
It's good you're here now. He's been running himself into the ground keeping up after the last hand left.
Glad to help, I said softly. It occurred to me that maybe before I came here, I should have asked why the other farmhand left. Could have been for a million reasons, but at this point, I'd have laid money on a boss that was unpredictable and difficult to work with.
Slow down, Amy. It was just one time, and it could have been because of anything, just like it was the first dozen or so times with Sam.
So where were you before this? Gretchen asked.
Hell, I gave a quiet cough. Western Washington, just working some odd jobs.
As a farmhand?
She tilted her head a little.
I'll admit you're not the kind of girl who usually responds to an ad like ours.
I laughed. Well, this isn't my usual line of work, but it seemed like a nice change.
Is this your first time working with horses?
Like this? Yes. I paused, unsure just how far to tip my hand. But I've been around them.
Do you ride?
I have, yes. Lowering my gaze, I added.
Some?
Oh, well, good, Gretchen said.
Dustin sometimes needs help working with the horses.
I laughed again, but with less humor. Somehow I doubt he'll ask me.
Well, why not? She asked. If you know which end of the horse bites and which end kicks.
More worried about your son in that respect, quite honestly.
I guess we'll see, I said.
So what brought you all the way to this side of the mountains? Something about the way she looked at me and the way her eyes narrowed just slightly made me wonder how much she really wanted to know.
Seems an awful long way to go to pick out stalls and feed horses.
I swallowed, certain I had suddenly become completely transparent. Heart beating rapidly, I cleared my throat. Needed a change of pace, I guess. A change of scenery.
Well, you found it here.
She made a sweeping gesture out at the rest of the property.
Doesn't get much more different from the western side of the state than a place like this.
I managed a soft laugh. No, it doesn't. She opened her mouth like she was going to say something further, but then looked past me.
Oh, here comes Dustin. I'll leave you to him, but it's wonderful to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too, I said with a hopefully convincing smile. My hackles were back up before he was 10 feet away.
Anyhow, if you need anything, Gretchen said, you know where to find me.
I kept the forced smile on my face. I will. Thanks. She left, and Dustin rejoined me. He ran me through a few more of the basic tasks his dad had already covered, making sure to tell me exactly what differentiated a clean stall from a dirty one.
Really, dude? Seriously? Fuck you.
And giving me a few tips for staying out from under the feet of clients when they were around.
Any questions?
He asked. No, it's pretty straightforward, I said, cursing my inability to look him in the eye. I should probably get the stalls picked out before it gets to be feeding time, though.
Dustin looked at his watch. Good idea. Usually you'll want the stalls picked out before noon, he said, but it's your first day, so I won't worry about it.
He nodded toward the door marked office.
I've got some paperwork and everything to catch up on, so I'll leave you to the stalls.
Great. Thanks for the tour. As I went about my work, I couldn't stop thinking about Dustin. I told myself repeatedly I was overreacting. The man had just come back from an apparently stressful trip, he had 2 new horses to look after, and that was probably all there was to it. A little moodiness on his part didn't mean anything. It was just my hypersensitive fight-or-flight instinct spooking at the first sign of unpredictability. Dustin didn't come across as even a little bit violent. But then again, neither had Sam. But I was just working with Dustin anyway. I wasn't involved with him. And I was just working with him long enough to get my head together, figure out where I went from here, and then I'd go home. Eventually. I just finished picking out stalls the following morning when I caught a glimpse of myself in the window of one of the horse trailers outside. Even in the semi-transparent reflection, it was obvious sweat and dust had done wonders to my makeup. 10 o'clock in the morning, and I already looked like hell, so I ducked into the tack room with a bottle of concealer I kept in my pocket and tried not to meet my own eyes while I touched up my face. I felt more than a little ridiculous doing this. Under normal circumstances, the only time I wore makeup anywhere near a horse was during a competition. Otherwise, it was just a massive waste of time. Really, what was the point when it was going to get smeared and dusty and make me look like I'd rubbed mud all over my cheeks? Dabbing the concealer to smooth the edge, I flinched when I hit a tender spot under my cheekbone. At least it wasn't as sore as it had been, harder to conceal, though it was fading slowly, but my eyes didn't water when I touched it now. I capped the concealer and slipped it into my pocket. Then I looked in the dusty mirror one more time, comparing my left cheek to my right. The right was still a little darker, but it wasn't terribly obvious. If anything, it would look to anyone who noticed like a smudge of dirt. Ironically. Once I was put together, I stepped out of the tack room. Dustin was in the aisle, clipping a young paint to the cross ties. He glanced at me, and something in his expression said he knew what I had been doing. Maybe he had seen me since the door had been open, or maybe it was just that obvious. Either way, it wouldn't have surprised me at all if, when he had turned his attention back to the muddy colt, he rolled his eyes. And fuck you too, Mr. King. I left him to groom the horse and continued with my daily tasks. On my way out, though, I threw a few glances at Dustin. He was busy with the horse, so he didn't look at me, but I sure looked at him. It would have been awesome if he had been one of those crusty, tobacco-chewing cowboys who were a hell of a lot harder on the eyes than they liked to think. The ones who grinned lecherously at all the ladies while they strutted around like their spurs weren't actually bigger than their dicks. It was so much easier to glare at the backside of a man when just looking at him warranted a wrinkled nose. Not Dustin. My God, he may have irritated me and made me a little nervous, but he sure was easy to look at. He had thrown me off balance from the first moment I saw him when John and I stepped out of the barn yesterday, and even if he had put me off shortly thereafter, he was still pleasant to look at. Okay, more than pleasant to look at. I couldn't remember the last time I got goosebumps just from glancing at a man, and it had happened at least 3 times since I'd been here. He still irritated me enough I wouldn't have minded seeing a horse take a bite out of him just for spite, and he had perhaps inadvertently tripped some instinctive revulsion, but that didn't change the fact that he was a clean-shaven, well-rested version of the man who had screwed up my blood pressure yesterday. Or that jeans were invented for a butt like that. Lord help me when the time came and I saw him in the saddle. I shivered, then banished the thought because it made it that much harder to tell myself that he was an ass and went back to doing all the things I was paid to do, which didn't include ogling my new boss. After I stole one last look at him just for the hell of it. Throughout the sweltering afternoon, as I cleaned stalls and moved horses around, heat, more than exertion, made me sweat, which meant 3 surreptitious trips into the tack room to fix my makeup like a vain high school kid. Only a few more days, I reminded myself as I self-consciously looked to make sure no one saw me. Then I don't have to bother with this crap anymore. It would help if the bruise faded instead of getting darker, but I had enough concealer with me to keep the discoloration hidden until it was finally gone, so I tried not to worry about it too much. Around 6:30 that evening, my to-do list was done for the day and there was nothing left except the late-night feeding, so I went back up to my house. As soon as I'd closed the door behind me, I released my breath and looked around, smiling to myself. Though Dustin lived under the same roof, a wall kept him on his own side, and this tiny half of the duplex was something no place had been in years. Mine. Rented or not, this space was mine and mine alone, and I loved it. Even if it was backed up against the place where Dustin slept. Slept and maybe... I rolled my eyes and laughed at my own thoughts. Guess I was getting desperate for any thoughts that weren't about being miserable. At least having impure thoughts about Dustin was better than stumbling around in an emotionless daze like I had been doing recently. And these days, I'd take anything I could get that wasn't numb and dragging. I figured my new boss was kind of like a football player in high school I used to lust after. A complete and utter douchebag I wouldn't have touched for $1 million, but he sure was nice to look at. Made that nauseatingly boring calculus class a lot more bearable. Okay, so Dustin wasn't that bad. Just a little moody for my taste. And he was that hot. Maybe the occasional glance at Dustin's butt or those beautiful blue eyes would make shoveling his horse's shit while taking his shit a little more appealing. Giggling to myself, I rolled my eyes again and went to the refrigerator to get something to drink, which reminded me I really needed to take a trip into town and buy a few groceries because there was nothing in the fridge except for a couple of bottles of water I'd had in my truck on the trip. Definitely needed to go shopping, and I had just enough time right now to make the trip, 45 minutes each way into town. After downing half the ice-cold bottle, I went into the small bathroom and rinsed the sweat, dust, and makeup off my face. As the dirt and concealer smeared off my skin and onto the washcloth, my good humor faded. And it faded a heck of a lot faster than that stupid bruise on my cheekbone insisted on doing. I lowered my hands, resting them on the sink as my bruised reflection looked back at me. Screw it. The grocery store could wait. Staring at myself now, focusing on that blue-green reminder of things I didn't want to think about, I didn't feel like going anywhere or doing anything. My stomach turned to lead. My shoulders slumped under an invisible weight, and I made a mental note to make sure that eventual trip for groceries included a stop at the liquor store. Though alcohol had played a nasty part in my recent history, including that bruise, I wasn't above drowning in a bottle when I needed to escape all things painful. And as heavy and impenetrable as this numbness seemed to be, I knew it would break eventually, and when it did, it would hurt. A lot. What a lovely contradiction. I wanted this numbness to go away, but didn't particularly want to be there when it happened. Well, which is it, Amy? Do you want to feel it or not? God, yeah, Mariah was right. I was going off the deep end. And if there was anyone left on this planet I could talk to. I dropped onto my bed and speed dialed my sister.
Hey, you, Mariah said. How are you doing?
I'm doing.
That doesn't sound good.
Fixing my gaze on the barn outside my window, I said, just adjusting, I guess.
What exactly are you adjusting to? She asked. I mean, what on earth are you doing wherever you are?
I'm, well, just doing odd jobs on a farm right now. Something to keep my hands busy and a roof over my head while I get my head together.
You have a roof here, sweetheart, and...
She paused.
Wait, you're a farmhand?
Heat flooded my cheeks. You could say that. She laughed.
Amy, what in the world are...
I just need a break, all right? It came out sharper than I'd intended, and I sighed. I'm sorry. Listen, I just need a little time to regroup, and when I saw the ad for this job, I jumped on it.
You're picking up shit and feeding someone else's horses to regroup?
It means I'm around the horses all the time. I lay back on the bed and stared up at the ceiling. But there's no pressure to work with them. Mariah was quiet for a moment.
Huh. I guess that makes sense, I think.
It probably doesn't. I rubbed my eyes with my finger and forefinger. I'm not even sure it makes sense to me, but I'll see what happens.
How's it going so far?
I thought about Dustin's weird demeanor. Probably too early to decide one way or the other.
That bad, huh?
I laughed half-heartedly. No, it's not that bad. Just an adjustment.
I guess it would be.
Going from Miss Trainer to horseshit removal specialist. Something like that. I swallowed hard. Absently, I pulled my ring out from under my shirt and turned it on its string between my fingers. So, how was the funeral? Silence hung over the line for almost a full minute before Mariah said,
Honey, do you really want to wallow in that? It's only been 48 hours since you couldn't make yourself show up.
I sat up and idly picked phantom burrs off my jeans. I should have gone.
So why didn't you?
I don't know. I sighed. I just couldn't. I couldn't deal with hours of listening to all the reasons Sam was the most amazing human being ever to walk the earth.
I guess I can't blame you for that.
She paused.
How's your face?
My reflection flickered through my mind and I groaned. Oh, it looks great.
Is it healing?
I think so. I absently touched my discolored cheekbone with my fingertips, flinching from my own light touch. It's a little darker today than it was yesterday, though.
Darker? Oh, lovely.
Tell me about it.
Well, it'll probably fade soon, she said. You know how bruises are. They get worse before they get better.
She paused.
There's no swelling, is there?
No, it wasn't that hard, don't worry. I laughed humorously. You know me, I bruise if the wind changes. Mariah didn't laugh.
Just keep an eye on it. Make sure it really is just a bruise.
It is. Don't worry.
Don't worry? Yeah, right.
She exhaled hard.
Honey, that's about all I've done since you left. I'm working twice as many horses right now, remember?
I winced. Sorry.
Don't be. I'll manage it, and I have Tim, Kurt, and Dina to help when I need them. I just want you to be okay, that's all. And where are you, anyway?
I continued turning my ring back and forth between my fingers. It doesn't matter, just don't worry about it.
Baby, we're all worried about you,
Mariah said.
Your husband died and you just disappeared. We all just want to know you're okay.
I am.
Are you?
Watching my gold ring catch the late afternoon sunlight, I sighed. I really don't know, honestly.
And is it helping, being wherever it is you are?
I gritted my teeth, glaring out at the barn as if it was the reason for my frustration. Not really.
Then why not come home?
I don't know. I shifted my gaze back to the ring between my fingers. I'm thinking about it, to be honest.
Then do it,
she said.
Baby, this is your home. We all miss you.
I miss you too, I whispered. Hey, can I ask you something?
Sure, she said. Go ahead.
I chewed my lip, unsure exactly how to word it and if my sister would think I was an idiot no matter how I phrased the question. Finally, I said, do you still, like, connect with the horses?
What do you mean?
You know, like, do you have a bond with the ones you work with? She was quiet for a moment.
Well, not every horse, no. It's kind of hard to get that when you're only working with one for 90 days.
True, but what about your own horses?
Yeah, I suppose I do.
Probably not like I did when I was a kid and only working with two horses at a time, but yeah. She paused.
What about you?
No, I whispered. Not at all.
Really?
I swallowed, my mind wandering back to the babies visiting Dustin and me at the fence yesterday, which made me that much more aware of that numb void deep in my chest. I look at them now and I feel nothing.
You're probably just burned out, sweetie,
she said.
Riding every hour of every day, what do you expect?
Sighing, I shoved my ring under my shirt. I don't know. I have no idea what I expected. It just wasn't this. Mariah fell silent again. Then,
maybe this really is what you need, what you're doing right now. Some time away until you get your feet under you again. You're burned out, you're grieving.
She paused.
You take as much time as you need, sweetie.
Are you sure?
Definitely. I've got things under control on this end. Just do whatever you need to do to get yourself together.
I closed my eyes. I owe you so big.
We'll settle it up later,
she said with a playful grin in her voice.
Just take it easy and don't stay out there forever, okay?
I will, I said, and I won't be here forever.
Promise?
Promise.